The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
All right, before we start a new hour, I will remind you of two things. One, that Magic Johnson is coming up. He will be live on this program in about a half hour, Magic in studio. That is going to be great fun. And then speaking of great fun, last night, our dear friend Pat McAfee was one of the stars of WrestleMania. Guys, take a look at McAfee because he got busy last night. Look at him.
Repping to get up.
Oh, what do you think of that? Here we go.
Did he do it? Ah! What a move.
And then Vince McMahon took off his shirt and he was wearing the traditional. Oh, look at that.
Stunned?
McAfee. Oh.
What a.
So McAfee drinking beer and falling backwards like that is just a regular Saturday night for him. But that, the rest of it. Take a look. Look at Patrick.
Impressive.
We are proud of him.
Wow.
We are proud of him.
Absolutely.
That is a job well done.
That's really good.
There's a lot happening.
Living a lifelong dream. One more time on Vince McMahon.
What are we doing?
He punted a football into his
turned into an episode of Jackass. What's happening out there?
All right, with that, we welcome you back to another hour. We are live at the Seaport. We are brought to you by Chase. Way to go, McAfee. We have a huge hour coming your way. Let's roll with Rob. Here we go. It's time to get up and get out. Out for the Lakers. Was yesterday finally the last straw in LA? And if so, who takes the blame? D. Wood's going to weigh in. Plus, Mr. Mahomes saying ta-ta Tyreek. And then he'll tell you why his is still the team to beat in the loaded AFC. Plus, as mentioned, don't miss the pièce de résistance. It's Magic Johnson in our studio for a half hour talking hoops and anything else he finds fascinating. Don't miss the Magic Man in this half hour here. Get up on ESPN. Meanwhile, Legler, let's begin with the redemption of the night. National championship on the line, South Carolina and UConn. South Carolina so close a year ago behind her, Aaliyah Boston, and last night she couldn't be stopped.
Yeah, they had a confident look in her eyes from the beginning. They took on the challenge. They knew that they could do things defensively against UConn to give a chance.
Yeah, but look at Paige Beckers. That's spectacular.
Not many highlights, unfortunately, for UConn offensively, but that obviously is the top.
They were down 8 at the half, and then in fourth quarter, the theme was turning defense into offense.
That's what they do. They get up, they pressure you, they force turnovers. They, right there, great job contesting that shot, get the breakaway. Gino Auriemma frustrated trying to figure out where he's going to get some points.
That's Destiny Henderson. She had plenty of points. She scored a career-high 26, but it was Aaliyah Boston who was named the most outstanding player of the Final Four as South Carolina wins the championship 64-49, the final. Afterwards, Aaliyah stopped by.
How do you describe the sacrifice and the work that has brought you to this very moment?
Holly, it feels amazing, and honestly, I've been thinking about this since last season because everyone had a picture of me crying at the end of the Final Four, and they put it everywhere as if that was some type of... But today, we're national champions, and I need tears, Holly. I need tears. So if you guys want to smile, here you go. And we're national champions.
What a moment. We called it redemption of the night. South Carolina, the 12th wire-to-wire AP number one team to win the championship. They finished with a program record 35 wins this year and were a perfect 14-0 against AP-ranked opponents. All right, so from the sublime to the ridiculous, the Lakers yesterday at home. Anthony Davis doing what he can in the absence of LeBron. The Lakers desperately need a win to stay in the play-in. They were playing against Denver. We had it on ABC. Anthony Davis.
Yeah, a reminder, right? A flash of the talent at 7 feet tall to be able to handle the basketball, the agility. Unfortunately, a little bit too late.
And not enough of this all year long. That's Russell Westbrook taking it strong. Always seems more comfortable when LeBron is not out there. Westbrook would score 27, but the second half would belong to Nikola Jokic.
As it usually does. You can just run your offense through this guy. And the skill the power, the finesse, the best passer in the NBA. Nikola Jokic took over the game.
Here's some of that passing, finding Will Barton for a three. Barton at 25. Jokic had 38, 18 rebounds, 6 assists. His MVP charge is very much in effect, and the Lakers are very much done. They find themselves functionally 2.5 games behind San Antonio for the final play-in spot because the Spurs have the tiebreaker. Anthony Davis knows it might have been.
There's no moral victories in this league, you know, especially with us. The whole world want to see us lose. You know, I think the biggest thing that I think about personally is what we could have been, you know, if we stay healthy all year. What could we have been? You know, we put this team together. We look really good on paper, but we haven't had a chance to reach that potential with guys being, you know, in and out of the lineup. So the most frustrating part about, you know, this season is just not being sure what we could have been.
All right, and so this is a season they may need to wipe clean. Wipe It Clean is brought to you by Clorox. And so if you're with us earlier today, Tim Legler essentially threatened our 20-year friendship. He said, if when this season comes to an end for the Lakers, I continue to ask him questions about them, it's going to create a problem between us. And so I thought to myself, how about if I bring in one of the biggest Laker fans I know, and that's Damian Woody, and I will let him vent about his Lakers here and let you respond to that. So if you're going to be mad, you'll be mad at the mountain of a man that is D. Wood. D. Wood, give us your best 45 seconds right now on the season that has been for your beloved Lakers.
Greeny, I can't even watch the Lakers anymore. I'm so pissed off every time the Lakers are on television because we're talking about the Los Angeles Lakers. We're not talking about some scrub franchise. We're talking about the Los Angeles Lakers, a team that probably is not even going to find its way into the playoff in the playoff game to get into to actually get, have a chance to make it into a series in the playoffs. So, listen, LeBron James has been phenomenal this season. There's no question about it. 37 years old, you know, the things that he's been doing. But LeBron James also shares some of the blame as far as roster construction because make no mistake about it, no moves that go down with the Los Angeles Lakers, they don't do anything without LeBron James' blessing. And that's the situation that the Lakers find themselves in. Anthony Davis has been hurt. What else is new? And what's the path forward for the Los Angeles Lakers? We don't have any chips that we can try to trade outside of Anthony Davis, and that's a diminished chip because he's hurt all the time. So I just don't know where the Lakers go moving forward.
That is well done by D. Wood. That he speaks for all of Laker Nation. How do we respond?
Well, a couple things. First, he should be dressed in all black today because we're doing a eulogy for this franchise. But here's the thing. I don't have a lot of sympathy for D. Wood, okay? It's a rare off year for the Lakers. I'm a Washington football team fan, okay? How do you think I feel? Even stumbling in here every day trying to stay upbeat for 17 weeks in an NFL season, D. Wood. So I have no sympathy for you. All I know is this. I said a few weeks ago in this show, AD is a Band-Aid, not a tourniquet. Mm. And it turns out I was right because even AD coming back late in the year can't solve this problem, particularly obviously when LeBron James is out. But they're close, Greeny. They're close. And they're just not going to be part of the postseason right now. And it's shocking to think a team with these three guys on it going into the year would be sitting at home when the play-in
starts. Not even part of the play-in is the point here. So I guess then if we look into the future, if LeBron James is going to make another run at a ring in Los Angeles, will it be with Anthony Davis or will it be because they traded Anthony Davis for pieces?
I think they're going to explore what that would look like moving on from Anthony Davis. But at the end of the day, here's what's going to happen. They're going to fall back in love with this guy's talent. And they're going to think about what could be if somehow those two guys stay healthy. But you've got to completely rework the supporting cast. They're too old. They're not a very defensive-minded team. When you look at the other teams in the West, they've got young guys running up down the floor with a lot of bounce, a lot of hunger defensively. The Lakers have to completely rework their supporting cast. But look, if you have LeBron James and you do bring back Anthony Davis and he is healthy, they're going to be right back in the conversation again for 7 months next year, Woody.
D. Wood, I think, speaks for all Laker fans when he says nothing but makes that face. That's extremely well done. D. Wood, stay there. Legler, you stay close by as we will continue to eulogize the Lakers, who it really may have come to an end yesterday. In the meantime, in the NFL, our first stop is Kansas City, where Patrick Mahomes is preparing for life without Tyreek Hill. And he's now talking about the process of trading away Tyreek Tyreek and what the Chiefs offense is going to look like in the future. And he said, quote, this is definitely going to be a transition year where we try to figure out how we're going to have success with this team. When I had all these offensive linemen come in this last year, I knew I had to set an example of how to do things. I'll continue to evolve. I'll continue to be that example this year for the receiving room. I hadn't really seized on this when we talked about this earlier, but Dominique, it's interesting, a transition year.
Right.
Like, I think we all agree they needed to trade Tyreek Hill long-term. Right. And long-term, they'll be great because Andy Reid's a great coach and Patrick Mahomes is so young. But is this a transition year or is this still a Super Bowl contender?
I mean, I think as long as you have Patrick Mahomes and we have single elimination in the NFL playoffs, then there's always a chance. But I think this is probably the weakest team that they've had in since Patrick Mahomes has taken over. So, yes, for the Chiefs, this is a transition year. They'll rebuild and they'll be an AFC favorite at some point again. But I don't think they're the favorites this year, in large part because they're going to be missing Tyreek Hill.
The players that you were seeing on your screen there, by the way, Marquez Valdez-Scantling and Juju Smith-Schuster, are the receivers that they've brought in to this point to try and fill that void left behind by Tyreek Hill. There are other ways they can go about trying to continue that, right, Dan Graziano?
Yeah,
there's
sure.
The draft, and there's a bunch of receivers there. Are there other things they might do?
Sure. I mean, look, there are free agents still available that could have an impact, right? Odell Beckham, if he comes back off of his injury in time to play a significant portion of the season. There are potential trades. You can get Brandon Cooks from the Houston Texans if you want. DK Metcalf is an intriguing guy who could end up being available from the Seattle Seahawks if they do what they did with Russell Wilson and look down the road and say, this is not a contract we're going to want to give this player. They could look at trading him. They're not there yet, but that's something people are watching. So, yeah, it's just we talked about it before. He's not a replaceable player, Tyreek Hill. He's not someone you just plug somebody else in and they can do what he can do. So it's a transition to playing offense a different type of way. Patrick Mahomes has never played without Tyreek Hill. He has to do it differently now.
Damian Woody, in the absence of Tyreek Hill, is this a team that can compete for the Super Bowl? Because that's the standard now with all they've accomplished. Is this still a Super Bowl team in your mind, D. Wood?
Yes, they are, because they have Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. It's just going to be a lot harder because it's hard to replace a weapon like Tyreek Hill. I mean, he's probably the most dangerous player that we have in the National Football League. So, you know, you're just going to have to, you know, rejigger things and find other ways to win. But the sum of the parts is going to – it could possibly be better. But listen, Tyreek Hill is the weapon that defensive coordinators stay up at night about. So that's a big part of the puzzle that's going to be missing for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Let's talk about fear, right? He strikes fear in the hearts of opponents. You were a corner.
Yeah.
Walking out onto the field against Tyreek Hill and that offense in general the last few years, if that was a 10, if your fear was a 10, what is it now?
I've been out of the league for a long time, and I have nightmares about potentially having to guard Tyreek Hill with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. Like, that is terrifying. And the only thing that you could say these new receivers coming in do better than Tyreek Hill is block. That is it. However, Tyreek Hill accounts for two defenders many times. And in the running attack, having that guy out there isolated is just as good as blocking two guys. So while the Chiefs were not a run power, it wasn't because Tyreek Hill doesn't block well enough. There's no game plan that gets better minus Tyreek Hill in this league. And I don't think you can say that about very many players, even the top players. There are certain things that you can do better without them on the field. There's nothing that the Chiefs will do better offensively without Tyreek Hill.
They don't run the ball anyway. Right?
Yeah,
and they don't run the ball when they should run the ball.
Maybe time to start.
Yeah, I think people think they're going to start running it more, and they will. But my point is, having Tyreek Hill off of their team does not make them a better running football team, because Tyreek Hill runs the ball on a jet sweep. He's pretty impressive there also.
Final word.
There's a certain amount of time in every week, and you spend it game planning.
Right.
A massive chunk of Chiefs opponents' time was spent, how do we deal with Tyreek Hill? They don't have to worry about that anymore. Whatever else they use to replace him will not occupy defensive coordinators like that.
Unless it's DK Metcalf. I'll go back to that. If they get DK Metcalf, watch out. I think all bets will be off. Meanwhile, we have so much more to come here. It was the final matchup of his legendary career. Mike Krzyzewski losing to his arch rival. What does that do to his legacy? How about tonight's championship game? We're talking about it coming up. Plus, Aaron Rodgers losing his favorite target a few weeks ago. Does that mean his hold on the MVP goes with it? Or is a three-peat still in the cards? We're talking about it. And Magic's on the way to get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Hi, we're back on Get Up, and this weekend, what can you say? It was that rarest of rarities, the game with all the hype in the world that actually exceeded it. North Carolina knocking out Duke in the Final Four Saturday night, and so that was Coach K's final game. He retires with 1,202 career wins, which is the most by any head coach in men's or women's college basketball history. But as I bring Seth Greenberg back into the conversation, we were talking about it earlier. And you coaches are sort of all the same, and this one is particularly bitter. He is going to think about this one, I have a feeling, a lot more than he thinks about the 1,202 that went the other way, isn't he?
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
This is going to stick with him for a while. And part of the reason it's going to stick with him for a while, Greeny, is because he doesn't have that passion. He doesn't have that thing to go to next. You know, think about this. Coach K, for 40-plus years, all right, season ended, whether it was a championship or whether it was in the third round, fourth round, semifinal, whatever. And you know what? He woke up the next morning and he said, all right, what do I need to do? All right, I need to go out and recruit. I need to raise money. I need to meet with our players. I need to kind of refocus on what is our vision for the next season. Well, you know what? Come Tuesday, they crown a championship Monday night. Coach K is going to wake up Wednesday mornings and go, all right, what's my why? So he's going to have all this time to look back, and he's not going to think about the championships, the Olympic gold medals, the players whose lives he's impacted. It's going to go back to, quite honestly, the last game of Cameron and that last game in the semifinals against North Carolina. This one's going to be hard to let go.
And so we will see what he decides to wind up doing. But we are left with a fascinating championship game tonight. North Carolina, Kansas, two legendary powers of the sport. Give the fans one thing to watch for. What is the one thing they should be watching tonight, the single biggest factor that will determine who wins?
How healthy is Armando Bacot? That matchup with Armando Bacot and David McCormick will be the thing to watch when this game starts, because Armando Bacot, he's got 30 double-doubles, 30 double-doubles. He rolled his ankle, obviously, in the semifinal game. All right, that matchup with David McCormick will be huge, because Bill Self starts the game early on. He plays through David McCormick. And when he plays through David McCormick, he's going to go right at Bacot, whether it's going to be in a ball screen to see if Bacot can move laterally or right on the block. That matchup will determine the game, no doubt about it. The only X factor is, what does Love have to do with it? Caleb Love could happen and drop 27 or 26 like he did against UCLA and Duke in the second half.
Should be fabulous. Got a lot to live up to after a great one on Saturday night. Uncle Seth, thank you. As always, enjoy it. We'll see you tomorrow morning. National championship is tonight. In the meantime, let's do Overreaction Monday. Get me Graziano in here, and let's go through a couple of the things in football that people, I think, are generally saying, and we'll see if those things are overreactions. So I feel like there are a lot of people suddenly saying Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be the starting quarterback this year, week one, for the 49ers. Oh, did we start with Aaron Rodgers? I'm sorry. Okay, that is a change. change that I did not get. What is the overreaction about Aaron Rodgers?
Well, we went with Aaron Rodgers will win his third straight MVP. And I say this is not an overreaction. And here's why, if I can channel my Mike Tannenbaum for a second. Devontae Adams is not there anymore. Aaron Rodgers is still the quarterback. They still play in a weak division. They could win 12, 13 games. They could get the one seed again. And if that happens, everybody's going to say, look, he did it without Devontae Adams. That's even more impressive than what he did the last 2 years. I think it's not out of the question that that's what happens this year with the MVP race.
That would be remarkable. All right, the next one, speaking of quarterbacks, I feel like people are saying Lamar Jackson is not going to sign a contract extension with Baltimore. Is that an overreaction?
It is not an overreaction. Look, this could have happened last year. It could have happened this offseason. It hasn't happened yet. Very interesting and unique situation with Lamar Jackson, an MVP quarterback who's making $23 million this year, which is more than twice as much as he's made total in his NFL career so far. In no rush to do this deal. Deshaun Watson just got $230 million fully guaranteed. It's not out of the question. Lamar Jackson goes fifth-year option franchise a la Kirk Cousins some years ago.
Who has made more money, Kirk Cousins has, than any other player in the NFL since that time. All right, one more. If I were to say acquiring Devontae Parker makes the Patriots a playoff team this year, would that be an overreaction?
It is an overreaction. There are a lot of questions on that Patriots offense. Mac Jones entering his second year. He had a strong first year, but still stuff to work on. But he loses offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels. You know, Devontae Parker, nice player, but the team that traded him to you did so because they just got Tyreek Hill. And they're in your division, so you got to compete with them, as well as a very strong Buffalo team. Yeah, I think there's more that needs to be done in order for the Patriots to be considered a playoff contender in that AFC.
Yeah, because that is so jam-packed. In fact, let me bring it out here and talk about this a little more. And D. Wood, I will start with you. That we've been waiting to see. Will the Patriots make a move for a number one wide receiver? I don't know that people view Devontae Parker that way. Is that move enough to put New England back in the playoffs?
No, it's not enough. And, you know, more could be done via the draft. But listen, Devontae Parker is a guy that gives New England a viable threat on the outside to go with Kendrick Bourne. But yeah, I agree with Dan. There's more that needs to be done as far as weapons on the outside. And ultimately, we don't know who the play caller is going to be for New England. So until those questions are answered, I don't know if New England right now is a team that can get into the postseason this year.
Yeah, Nick, Dan Graziano brought this up earlier. They don't have a coach on their staff who was ever called offensive plays. Matt Patricia, Joe Judge are there. That neither one of them have that in their background. Devontae Parker, is that the answer? It's been a strange offseason for New England.
Devontae Parker is absolutely not the answer to solve it there. I think we're starting to see more and more how valuable, if it's possible that we could have undervalued Tom Brady. We're seeing how valuable he was. You have an all-time great quarterback who's playing on much less than market value for that. I think that makes a lot of things that aren't pretty look a lot prettier than they are. And I think the Patriots are going to continue this playoff drought that they've had in recent years.
What was the reaction to the Patriots' very quiet offseason? Last year, they had a bunch of money. They spent a bunch of money. Right. This year, they've been very quiet.
Well, we talked last year about how unusual that is for them. They don't like to play at the top of the free agent market. They felt like they were filling a lot of holes last year because of, you know, salary cap issues and some draft picks that they had missed on. So this year, you know, they're going to bring back the tight ends, the receivers they brought in last year. Mac Jones likes those guys, had some success with them, but they add with Devontae Parker. I still think they need to do some work on defense. This is the Patriots. They don't crush it in free agency. They look for bargains and deals and value, and they'll continue to do that.
The Bills, I think, are the team everyone's looking at in the AFC East. Next up, you've got the Dolphins or the Pats. Right now, who do you think is their biggest contender, their biggest threat in that division domination?
Oh, yeah, I think it's the Dolphins. Like, the Dolphins' defense is still as good as it was in the past. They added some weapons, or the weapon, as far as Tyreek Hill on offense, and they added a very smart offensive mind in McDaniel. I think the Dolphins are better than the Pats right now.
Not the Jets?
No. Okay, that was just mean.
That seems like a perfect way to wrap it up.
In the division, too.
By the way, if it's starting to feel like the energy is raising in this room, it's because it is.
Oh, is he here?
It's because one of the all-time greats is making his way into our studio.
Oh.
The one, the only, Irvin Magic Johnson will be joining us live next, talking about that man, LeBron James and the Lakers. Did it officially come to an end yesterday? And if so, who's to blame? We'll talk about that and more when one of the all-time greats, Magic, joins us live next. Get up on ESPN. We are back on Get Up, and as promised, the one, the only, the legend, Magic Johnson, has made his way to our studio. Let's go, and let's talk about the team with which he will forever be associated, the Lakers yesterday. Anthony Davis on ABC trying desperately to keep playoff hopes alive, taking on the Nuggets. LeBron James not able to play. Magic, the moves here from Anthony Davis, few big men have that.
Oh, no question about it. Dribble drive, changing hands, and he avoided the charge, too, at the same time.
But the second half would belong to Nikola Jokic. Just a moment on how good this big man is.
He could be the MVP again because he's so good. You know, he can shoot from the outside. He can pass probably better than any big man. Might be one of the best ever to pass the basketball. Triple-double once again. I love Denver, and I love this big man.
He had 38 points, 18 rebounds, and 6 assists. But the storyline is the Lakers, who are now functionally 2.5 games out of the final play-in spot because San Antonio has the tiebreaker. And after this 6th straight loss, Anthony Davis was looking back at a season gone awry and what might have been.
There's no moral victories in this league. You know, especially with us, the whole world want to see us lose. You know, I think the biggest thing that I think about personally is what we could have been. You know, if we stay healthy all year, what could we have been? You know, we put this team together, look really good on paper, but we haven't had a chance to reach that potential with guys being, you know, in and out of the lineup. So the most frustrating part about, you know, this season, just not being sure what we could have been.
All right, so obviously so disappointing in so many ways, and Magic is here with us for the half hour. A reminder, he's got a 4-part docuseries on Apple TV Plus that comes out April 22nd called They Call Me Magic. We will talk about that. But you heard Anthony Davis say, if we had been healthy, what might have been? So that will really be the question, won't it, during this offseason. Do they try and bring it back with LeBron and AD and say, well, the injuries were the reason we didn't do it, or do they need to go back to the drawing board? What do you think?
Well, Greeny, I think they have to bring it back. That's number one, because you can't attach a first-round pick to Westbrook and try to get him out, mm-hmm. right? He actually played a lot better the last 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And so I think AD is right. Health did play a part of it, but the other part of it, we played bad basketball. And the players didn't fit. And we didn't have a winning mindset and attitude. That really bothered me. Mentally and physically, we just didn't give us 150% every single night out on that court. And so if they're going to run it back, these guys first got to be committed. Forget those commercials and all the things that I think really sidetracked us as well, and commit to each other and commit to playing the game the right way. We couldn't get stops. Mm-hmm. The Pelican game on Friday night, that's the game that showed me this team is not about winning. We were supposed to win that game at home against a team that we're fighting against, mm-hmm. that we may see in the playoff game, and we came up small. We didn't come up big in the fourth quarter winning time. So we got to bring this team back. First of all, it's got to be about winning. And then this, we can't point the fingers just all at Vogel. Russell, you got to take responsibility and accountability to say, hey, I didn't play great for 4 or 5 months, mm-hmm. right? AD, you got to change whatever it is. You got to stay healthy. Or the Lakers got to say, man, after next season, if you don't stay healthy, they got to look at you and say maybe you should be somewhere else, because they need you on the court, not in your clothes mm-hmm. sitting on the bench.
Yeah.
So I think he's got to change some things. LeBron was great, had a great season, and then we got to change the role players.
LeBron, at the age of 37, has to play 2 more games to qualify. If he does, he may very well win the scoring title, which is remarkable, and yes. he'll be by leaps and by bounds the oldest player ever to do that. How do you put into perspective the season he had, considering how well he played and how badly the team turned out?
Well, I feel sorry for LeBron to put up this type of season, these type of numbers, and then we're probably not going to be even in the play-in game. Mm-hmm. This was a wasted season for him. And we can't waste seasons, Greeny, with LeBron James. You know, how many great seasons does he have left? And so we got to put a team around him that can compete for a championship. So I'm hoping that this teaches all of them a lesson. We know somebody's got to be to blame for this. Somebody's got to be the fall guy. And that's probably going to end up being Frank Vogel. But the players gotta also say, hey, we didn't play. LeBron, you played great, but the other guys didn't play as well as we thought they would.
So what has come up here? In fact, Damian Woody, of all people, one of our football analysts who is a crazy Laker fan this morning, brought this up. He said, if the roster construction was a problem, if the pieces didn't fit together, LeBron has to take some of the blame for that because it's impossible to imagine he didn't have some say in how they did it. What is fair to put on LeBron? For again, he's played great, but what is fair criticism of him for the season the Lakers
have had? Well, Damian, first of all, thank you, because I love listening, get my football knowledge from all your football experts that you have on the show. And so when I think about it, the blame that he's got to take is the fact that DeRozan ended up in Chicago and not with the Lakers. You know, he has
expand on that thought, if you will.
Well, because DeRozan wanted to play for the Lakers. And when I got the call from his agent, I called the Lakers, said, hey, he wants to come home. And DeRozan could have been a Laker instead of a Bull. We could have made that deal. But when Russell and LeBron and them started talking, that's when they nixed that deal and went with Westbrook, and he became a Laker instead of DeRozan. And I think with DeRozan, and then you had a chance to keep the role players, Caruso, KCP, all those guys who are our best defenders, see, they left. And that's why we were a bad defensive team. But if you signed DeRozan, you only trade Kuzma for Buddy Hield, we would be playing in the Western Conference Championship this year with those two guys.
You know, as you look around this league, to the point that you make, there are so many good, young, former Lakers that are out there. And I mean, Lonzo Ball playing great, Alex Caruso, Brandon Ingram, the list goes on. How do you feel as a guy, you still refer to the Lakers as we, which I love about you.
I'm a Laker.
And you will be for life. And that's exactly what everyone should expect. What should a Laker feel when you see all these really good young players out there having so much success that were originally in LA?
Well, Greeny, first of all, you got to say the Lakers drafted well.
Yeah.
And so give the Buss brothers who are involved in that, even Mitch Kupchak before he left, and now with Rob and myself before I left and Rob. So, but you can't keep everybody. See, you have to sometimes trade the young assets to get a older asset or a better asset. And so with Clarkson being with Utah and Brandon Ingram with New Orleans, Randall playing for the Knicks, on and on and on. But the Lakers got what they wanted, which was that championship. See, the Lakers are about championship. They're not about just developing young guys and holding on to them, unless they're superstars like Kobe. So I'm feeling good about the young guys and where they are, but I'm feeling good about also LeBron is still here. AD is still here. Russell, play like you've been playing the last 3 weeks. Things will get better. But I'm against putting a number one pick with Russell Westbrook and trying to trade him. I'm against that because you're just saying, well, I'm giving up everything for this guy. Let's see if he can come back next season and be better.
One more on the Lakers, and then we're going to go all around the league and talk about a bunch of other things here. But as far as LeBron, next year at some point, he will pass Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, your longtime teammate and dear friend, as the all-time leading scorer in NBA history. He's sitting on four championships right now, and we'll see where it goes. He's still one of the best players in the league at the age of 37, which has not happened very many times in history. What does all of this mean for his legacy? He's a legacy. He's one of the few. You're one of the few people alive who knows what that's like. When you're competing with ghosts, you're competing with history. What does all this mean for his legacy right now?
The legacy is set in stone. I just hope that he gets another championship. I hope that he can compete. What he's going to do, look at what we're talking about. He's going to be the all-time leading scorer. He's going to be one of the top assist men of all time. He's, I think, combined points, playoff and regular season, he's number one.
He is.
I mean, this guy, so now here we come, right? Michael Jordan is here. He's itching up there, but his story is still being written. So we have to see what happens. But LeBron means so much, not just to basketball. He means more to the world because this man has done so much, and his brand is so strong. And so I love him. I'm happy that I recruited him to the Lakers. I'm happy that he's been a stand-up guy and a guy that also made the young players on our team better. And he's a champion not only on the court but off the court.
All right, Magic is here with us. We're going to do much more with him as we continue. I'll take a short break on that. I can't believe it's been 43 years since this game was played. Magic Johnson and Larry Bird. They're going to play for a championship tonight in college basketball. We're going to talk about this. And here we go, Magic. We got a little trivia question for you. You ready?
Remember,
here we go.
I beat him last time.
Yeah. Here we go. With Hembo. Which game produced the highest television rating in basketball history, college or pro? Hold your thought.
Okay.
We'll come back and see if
Hembo,
it gets it
you
right.
Hembo, you're going to try to get me this time?
We'll see how we do. Magic is talking trash, and we're back in the flash. Get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Back on Get Up with the legendary Magic Johnson. And here we go, Magic. Sneaky Hembo for you. Which basketball game produced the highest rating in history, college or pro?
Michigan State versus Indiana State.
That is correct. The national championship game in 1979. It did a 24.1 rating, was watched by more than 35 million people. And that is where I wanted to go. And tonight, North Carolina will play Kansas for the national championship. And, you know, when I look back on your career, and I was going through the mental Rolodex here, and it's a pretty lengthy list of things with the Dream Team and all the championships with the Lakers. But it began that night when you beat Larry Bird for the championship. When you look back on all of the things you accomplished, where does that one rank among it all?
Well, as a kid, you always want to win an NCAA championship. So, and the build-up to that game, you know, Larry Bird being undefeated, 33-0, and my Michigan State Spartans, we were on a roll. I would say that game is the one that all-time greatest favorite for me. And so because the odds and playing against Larry Bird, and then we linked together for all those years, Celtics, Lakers. So that's my favorite championship of all time.
That one goes ahead of all of the Laker championships.
Yeah, because innocent kids, we were young and you know, we didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know then we would go to the two more storied franchises and play three times in the NBA championship. But that's my favorite because we were just young kids, and it was fun and exciting all at the same time. So I know what the young men are going through tonight. My question is, will North Carolina, because that Duke game was so big, will they have enough energy and will they come back focused? Because to me, that was the championship in a sense, right? And Kansas is sitting there saying, okay, you don't forget about us now. We got a lot of talent. The thing I think that's going to be the difference is North Carolina is bigger inside, and they may dominate them inside.
Yeah, we talked about their big man, Armando Bacot, who turned the ankle the other night. We'll see how he is. That's so fascinating. The Magic Larry thing, I've been doing a little research on that lately. There was a 9-year stretch in which one or the other of you won the title 8 of those 9 years. Yeah. You met, as you say, 3 times in the finals, 19 games total amongst those series. And it transformed the sport. I mean, when people sit back and talk about it, I promise I'm going to get to the modern day stuff, but I love this. Mm-hmm. When you think back on it, you and Larry Bird changed the sport forever. What does that mean to you? How do you compute that all these years later?
Well, Greeny, it means a great deal. My first championship in 1980 was tape delayed.
Yep.
It wasn't even live. So Larry and I actually changed the game in terms of the finals on live. Michael, of course, when he came in, we was able to take it to a whole nother level. But Larry and I really changed basketball, and I'm happy that I was a part of that. And with him, because he made me better, and I think I made him better. And so it's just great to know that we laugh about that today, Larry mm-hmm. and I, and we're still great friends, and so it's special.
It is. As a fan, it is special. That first championship, again, on tape delay when he scored the 42 points in Game 6. The NBA Finals are now seen in over 200 countries live, so that's how much things have changed. Okay, I promise we'll get to – so now, Nets. Let's talk about them a minute. You got KD and Kyrie. We wondered all year long, will Kyrie be allowed to play home games? Now he is. Mm-hmm. They can't stop anybody, but they can score like crazy. Can you win a championship in the NBA by scoring the way those two guys can score, but not being able to do it on the other end?
No. I said it last year on this show that if they don't get defensive-minded, they can't win. I don't care how many scores you have. If you can't stop any team, especially in those crucial last 3 or 4 minutes of the game in a playoff game, you're not going to be able to win. And we got to remember this, Greeny. In a 7-game series, 2 or 3 of those games, those guys are going to be off. So you really must rely on your defense when Kevin Durant is struggling or Kyrie is struggling and on the offensive end. And now you must get defensive stops. Mm-hmm. So with Ben Simmons not being able to play, that hurts them a great deal. So I said this earlier when the trade went down. It's still all about next year for me with the Brooklyn Nets. Mm-hmm. I think next year they're going to actually win the championship. This year they were not going to win the championship.
Because maybe next year they have Simmons and he provides some of that defense.
And they'll be better, know how to play with each other. They got shooters, they got everything in place, but they still need a defensive stopper.
And how about the team on the other side of that trade? When we were together in L.A., when you were with us on Countdown, we brought up, well, some people will say Embiid and James Harden are the next, you know, Kareem and Magic. What do we think of that?
Well, Greeny, let's slow down now. Neither one of them have won a championship
yet. That's correct.
You got to win championships to get to that level, okay? But I will say this. If they don't incorporate Tobias Harris, they're not going to win. He's got to be able to score. So sometimes James got to take a step back and get Tobias Harris going, and I think that'll make them a better team. I like Philly, but I like Miami better. I like Milwaukee. But Milwaukee is the favorite. Because they're the champions, they know how to win. But I think Miami is great as well. They're playing super basketball, and they're a deep team as well.
This wasn't planned, so I apologize that we're not. But I have to ask, because you made me think of it. Has Giannis become the best player in the world?
Yeah.
There's always
a
best player in the world. Is it him?
Yeah, he's the best. And KD is like 1A, 1B, you know. And
because Stephen A's not going to put up with that. By the way, Stephen A. Smith was in here during our break yelling and screaming at Magic Johnson. Stephen A. is not going to, if you're going to tell him Giannis is the best player in the world, Stephen A. is not going to have it.
That's okay. You know, Stephen, all he's going to do is start screaming louder than both of us, right? Like, that's going to do something to us. Stephen A. is the reason why the Knicks are not going to the playoffs this year.
How is that?
Because Stephen A. I came on the show and said, you should sign Lonzo Ball.
Mm-hmm.
And he, no, don't sign Lonzo Ball. The Knicks should have signed Lonzo Ball, pair him with Randle, because they already played together with the Lakers.
Right.
He's a big guard. Tom Thibodeau loved big defensive guards. Perfect guy who can set the team up, the guys up with his passing ability. He shot 43% from the three-point line this year. He actually won the game in Brooklyn on a three-point shot, Lonzo Ball.
Yeah.
Stephen A. is part of the reason why the Knicks ended up out of the playoffs.
Okay. It doesn't get any better than that. Very quickly, let me ask you about the West. You've got Phoenix has been the best all year long. Golden State is getting healthy, and I love Memphis. Memphis is one of the great stories in the sport. Who's the best team in the West?
One or two teams going to end up in the championship, and I don't think it's going to be Golden State. It's going to be either Memphis or Dallas. Watch out for Dallas.
Dallas,
with that Porzingis trade and Dinwiddie coming over to Dallas, that made them a better team. I like Luka, how he's playing. That was a great game yesterday in Milwaukee. Dallas is sneaky good. Great coach and Jason Kidd. Watch out for Dallas, because they could beat any of these teams. because they're that explosive on the offensive end, and they're playing great defense now.
All right, that's a fascinating pick, and they have been great. I want to ask you about the docuseries. It's They Call Me Magic. It's on Apple TV Plus, debuting on April 22nd. What are the fans going to see?
Oh, they're going to see, you know, great Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, all these players, President Obama, President Clinton, all my business partners, my family, my parents, my beautiful wife, my kids. Everybody, they're going to see my journey from Lansing, Michigan, all the way to L.A., and on the court and off the court, which is great.
You ever stop and think about it? Like, I pinch myself just sitting next to you. You ever stop and think you're a kid from Lansing, Michigan, and look at what your life has been?
Greeny, I still can't even believe it. I can't. I thank God every single night that I'm in this position, coming from a small town, my father working as hard as he did to feed 10 kids, and here I'm sitting here. Don't make me cry on here, because I'm getting emotional now, because I know I've been blessed, man. I know I've been blessed. So thank you.
Now, we love you, Magic. I speak for everyone in America when I say we love you. Thank you. Magic Johnson going across the hall. He will be yelling at Stephen A. Smith in a moment. Maybe crying in a different way.
I know.
When Stephen A. gets a hold of you. And by the way, it is the last week of the regular season, and we've got a special night of basketball for you tomorrow. We got the Tuesday marquee matchup. We got two of the best in the East. We got Giannis and the Bucks. We got DeRozan and the Bulls. That's 8 Eastern tomorrow. We will start your night with NBA Countdown 7 Eastern right here on ESPN. And again, Magic is headed over to do First Take. Another bad loss for the Lakers. It's getting very late for them. Does Stephen A. think they have any chance to make the play-in game? Stephen A., Magic and Company, top of the hour right here on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Our action-packed April rolls on Wednesday. We got the NBA 75th anniversary season telecast, Nets and Knicks on ESPN2. We got baseball's opening day Thursday. We got Saturday our NBC NHL matinee featuring Ovechkin and Sid the Kid. And then we have USC 273 featuring two title fights on Saturday night. What a week it's going to be. And speaking of fights, Dan Graziano, we finish it with our buddy McAfee. What'd you think he was at WrestleMania last night?
I mean, that was, look, Pat's always going to go for it, right? Like, no matter what. He's not going to show up to WrestleMania and do it half you know what. So what I want to know, Greeny, is would you do this?
Which part of it?
Whatever he's doing, would you get involved in WrestleMania and do some like would have Vince McMahon
kick the
football?
You would? Tell McMahon to call me.
All right.
I'm all in.
I will watch that.
We'll see. Good fun. Thank you, Graziano. First Take with Magic now.